Amen. 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 Glory to God. If you got your Bible tonight, open it up to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to talk to you tonight about loving life. Amen. Everybody say, loving life. I want to love life. Amen. I want to be in love with life. I want life to be something that I'm excited about. And I've found over the years that life and living life and being happy with life is oftentimes more about perception than it is the reality of circumstances. Amen? So we gotta love life. Now watch this in 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 8. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted and courteous, not returning evil for reviling, nor evil for evil, or reviling for reviling, but on contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit the blessing. We're talking tonight about loving life, and if you're going to love life, then you have to consider yourself blessed no matter what happens, right? In other words, if people are bad to you, that doesn't mean you have to have a bad day. If you feel like you've been mistreated, it doesn't mean that dictates how you're going to be. You've got to get into yourself and just say, Lord, I'm grateful for who you are, and I'm grateful for the blessing that you've given me. Now look at this, verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now look at it. He says here, at the verse 10 again, he said this. He said, for he who would love life. How many would like to love life? How many are you not real happy with your life right now? And it's like, you know, I'm this or I'm that. I'm getting too old or I'm too young or I don't have enough of this or I don't have enough of that. And the reality is it doesn't matter your circumstances. It matters your attitude. And watch this. There are some keys and we're going to see those keys tonight. Again, in verse 10, it says, he that would love life and see good days, that's what we want, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Your tongue, James said that your tongue is like the rudder of a ship. Your tongue is the thing that drives you and drives you in a direction in your life. And if you want to love life, if you want to have a good life, then you must be disciplined in what you say. Now here it says, you know, refrain his tongue from evil. And we can look at that and we can go, well, that means that I shouldn't cuss. That means that I shouldn't lie. That means that I shouldn't, you know, tell dirty jokes, whatever. And that's true, but that's not where it stops. Refraining your tongue from evil is refraining your tongue from anything that doesn't line up with Scripture. Because He's good. He has promises that are good. Scriptures like this, He said that the peace that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So if you meet the conditions that garner that promise, then you should be speaking life into that rather than evil. Yeah, I've tried all that, but my life still is bad, and I'm still in turmoil, or I'm still stressed out, or I'm still all of the things that are contrary to what God says. As far as I see in the Word of God, that's evil speaking. I said, that's evil speaking. And when we trust God and we put our faith into God, then we can look at it from a different perspective, and we can have life. If you would love life and see good, let you refrain your tongue from evil and let his lips from speaking deceit. In other words, are we going to speak what God says? Are we going to speak what deception says, or it watches what the enemy is saying. Because the enemy can be telling you all kinds of lies, but they're not true. So what we have to do is speak the truth from God's perspective. Amen? Amen. So it's kind of like, okay, that requires some things of me. If I want to have a good life, if I want to love life, then I need to be involved in the process of living life. Many people are just a product of their circumstances, so it's kind of like, well, whatever way that life happens, that's just the way that I flow with it. And I think that that's a lower living. I think that that's not the place where we need to be. I think we can dictate how we should be. People ask me, well, how are you doing, man? I'm doing good. It doesn't mean everything in my life is good, but I'm doing good. Why? Because my perspective is not on my circumstances. My perspective is based on the relationship that I have with Jesus and what He says. Glory to God. And He's told me some good things in His Word. Amen? He's told us some good things in His Word. Again, we want to love life. Love life. We want to live our life like we love our life. Well, I would if this wasn't here, or that person wasn't there, or this circumstances wasn't in my life. But here's the reality. None of that matters when it comes to you loving your life. Because if you'll put yourself in the position of knowing who you are in Christ and begin to speak out of that position, all the other things, even though they might be real, cannot steal what God has put on the inside of you. Reminds me of the story of during the end of World War II when they were liberating the concentration camps. And the soldiers came in, and they were all, as you've seen in the pictures, gaunt and just skin hanging over bones and just ridiculous. They looked like death warmed over because they were close to dying. And many obviously had died in the concentration camps. But as they were liberating this one concentration camp, they saw this one man. And every person, and you can just imagine, you can just think about it. How can you love life in a circumstance like that? Right? In concentration camp, the Nazis were treating you like vermin and all of those things. How can you love life? Well, he decided when he went in to the concentration camp, when they brought him by the train into the concentration camp, and he saw the surroundings, he said, they can have my body, right? They can do, make me do things that I don't want to do, but what they can never take is my soul. They can never, I'm not going to let them, I'm not going to let them dictate how I feel. I'm not going to let them dictate what's going on in my life, because God is my source and God is with me. And so I'm going to continue to speak the Scriptures and what the Scriptures say so that I can remain in control of how I live life. So if he could love life in the midst of a concentration camp, I think that we could love life in the midst of our circumstances. Amen? Amen. You can't steal the joy of God from me, but I can give it to you. Right? You can't steal the peace of God from me, but I can let you have it. Or I can let life dictate how I'm going through life. But I think that we need to come to the place and come back to the place where we're just going, no, bless God. If He said it, I believe it, and I'm going to walk in what He said. Right? Nobody's going to be able to steal my peace. Nobody can take the love of God from me. I thank you, Lord, that you're for me, and if you be for me, who can be against me? I thank you that I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For I shall say of the Lord, He is my refuge and He is my fortress. You see, this is the key to loving life, or having a life worth loving, is that we make the Lord our refuge and we say of the Lord, this is who He is. This is what He's done. This is what He's going to be. I mean, if you just wake up in the morning and just have this thought, you know, I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not saying I'm going to die today, but I'm on my way to heaven and it doesn't matter. I'm just passing through this land, But my land is not here. My land is in heaven. And I trust that God is with me. He's going to see me through. He's going to put me in the place where I am His and He is mine. I'm going to love my life. I'm refusing to be down. I'm refusing to let the enemy beat me up. I'm refusing. And some days that's tough. But I don't want the result of not resisting what the enemy is trying to do to me. I want to live my life. You want to live your life. And we have to understand that there's consequences to our actions. In other words, if we're living in a certain way, then we're going to bear the fruit of those consequences. If we're speaking evil, we're not going to love our life. Well, you know, I mean, have you ever met anybody that they're just down all the time? I mean, they're just down all the time. You go to them and you just think, man, they're miserable. You don't even have to talk to them very long. You look across the room and say, man, they're miserable. And the reason that they're miserable at the core is because they haven't done what I'm talking about tonight. They're always talking about how bad things are. They're talking about how people mistreat them. They're talking about how bad they've got it, what hurts and what doesn't hurt, and, you know, all of their circumstances of life. And I think that we can do better if we'll begin to speak of who God is in our lives. Amen? Come on. I think that's good. Hallelujah. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. I mean, we read things like that and we just let it go by, but think about that for just a minute. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm righteous because of the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord are on me. He's watching after me. He's taking care of me. Years ago, I was going through a time and I had to make a decision. And somebody sent me this Bible verse. And she had done it in calligraphy. That was back in the day when calligraphy was a big thing. And she did it in calligraphy, had it framed. And it said that the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And that was a right-on word for me at that time because I needed to make a decision and I was vacillating. But then that brought me back, wait a minute, God's going to direct me. God's going to show me what to do. I'm going to follow after His peace. And I know that 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 I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, the Lord orders my steps. Glory to God. He's going to get me where I need to go. He's going to help me through what I'm going through. You see, we got to start speaking what the Bible says about us rather than what we feel about us, or especially what somebody else has told us about us. Hallelujah. How can somebody who is full of the Holy Spirit and has the joy of the Lord, has the fruit of the Spirit in operation, be depressed? It's impossible. It's impossible unless they give in to the circumstances they're facing and begin to speak evil over themselves rather than what God says. Hallelujah. I'm full of the Holy Spirit because Jesus lives in me. The Spirit of God lives in me. And I don't have the fruit of the flesh in dominating me. I'm determined to have the fruit of the Spirit dominate me. And it's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Come on. And that's what's living on the inside of me. So rather than speaking about everything that's going wrong, or even the temptations that I'm facing and how the devil's trying to get me to do that and the devil's trying to get me to do this, we're just speaking deceit because that's not the reality of who you are. In the Spirit, by the Spirit of God and what God has done on the inside of you, He has made you something completely different. It's He who is able to keep me from stumbling. Glory to God. I was reading today, And it's so good that He said He is able to keep His own. And I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, therefore I'm His own. And He's able to keep me. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. I hope you all are getting something tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. I believe the Word of God is true. But I believe it's true for me. I'm going to love life, and I'm going to love the absolute presence of God in my life. I refuse to live life less than what He's produced for me. It's so good. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20 says, "My son," we can stop right there and just have a party. I'm a child of God. I'm a son, or I'm a daughter of the Most High God. I'm part of His family. I've been adopted into His family, glory to God. The blood of Jesus is flowing through my bones because of what He did for me on the cross. Look at this. It says, "My son, give attention to my word and incline your ear to my saying. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." So the first thing I need to do is watch what my mouth is saying and not let evil come out of my mouth. But the second thing to loving life is that you have to seek out His Word and find it. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about me? And Holy Spirit, if we truly believe that the Holy Spirit is the teacher and that He lives in us, why not wake up in the morning and say, "Here we go again. I'm available when I'm reading the Bible, when I get the Bible out and I start reading it. I believe, Holy Spirit, that You're going to show me who You are." It's really interesting because we get the perception that, you know, and there's nothing wrong with any of about what I'm going to say, but I've got to know the Hebrew, and I've got to know the Greek, and I've got to, you know, if I really understood the Hebrew meaning of all the words, there's nothing wrong with that, and that's good. But the reality is, if the Holy Spirit is the teacher, and He can reveal the Word to you personally. That's why, I mean, there are many testimonies of little old ladies who lived in a one-room cabin with a dirt floor and a fireplace with, that's their only heat, that's how they cooked, that's everything. But their kids would watch them grow up and watch the mom sitting there with her little Bible. And just reading her little Bible with no teacher, because there's no preacher for 100 miles. But the Holy Spirit was revealing Himself to her over and over again. She was always full of joy, always full of peace, always comforted with the fact that God's for me, God's with me. Why? Because she attended to, or she paid attention to, or she gave attention to the Word of God. And I just ask, if we want to love life and love it the way God wants us to, we have to be in the position where we're giving attention to His Word, we're inclining our ears to His sayings, and we're not letting them depart from our eyes. It's like constantly over and over and over and over and over again. What Scripture are you standing on? What Scripture are you looking at? What saying are you meditating on? If you want to love life, you've got to have the focal point. I was talking with just somebody this week, and this story just reminds me so much of the focal point. It just draws the attention to it. This movie I watched years ago, and it was this fellow went out on a blind date, and his blind date says, "Listen, I've just got to stop over at my friend's house. She's pregnant, and I'm going to take something over to her." So they walk into her apartment. It's like in the back, I think it was in New York or someplace. They walk into her apartment. And there in the front room is one of those kiddie pools. It's filled with water, and she's giving birth at home. Well, this guy's walking across, kind of nice to meet you, and she says, "Stop!" So he's standing there. She's right here trying to give birth, and he's like, "Don't move!" Why, huh? Because she was using him as a focal point to concentrate so that the pain wouldn't be as great. And she's doing but that focal point. And so what I'm saying is that's just kind of wouldn't that be great? You're standing there, you've never met this lady in your life, and you're going, I'm the focal point. And she's giving birth right in front of you. It's like, oh, you know, might be a little bit uncomfortable. But the point is you need to have a focal point. If you want to love life, the Scripture has to be your focal point. And sometimes God will give you a specific Scripture or a few Scriptures for the season that you're going through. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not onto your own understanding. Listen, I've got that on a little plaque in my car, and that's awesome. But if it's just a plaque in my car and it's not a focal point, it's not going to produce in me the things that will produce the life that I can love. So I have to get back into the Word of God and make those Scriptures a focal point. Glory to God. If somebody come up for prayer and they say, listen, I'm believing God for such and such. Well, what Scripture are you attending to? What is your focal point so that I can agree with you? What's the address of that Scripture? Come on, is it Isaiah 53? Is it James chapter 5? Is it, you know, whatever, Exodus? Is what Scripture are you standing on so that we can both focus on that same Scripture so that we can have the results that we're after? Because those Scriptures, it says in verse 21 or verse 22, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. In other words, if we want to live a life that's full of health and a good life and love life, then we've got to put His Scriptures right at the top and say, Lord, this is what I'm standing on. This is what I'm looking to. This is where I'm going. Verse 23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart. What's your heart? Now, your heart, I believe, is that place that contains not only your spirit, but your soul. And so your mind is in your heart. And so you have to keep your heart. You have to keep control over your mind. But you have to keep your mind in the right place by listening to what you're saying and make sure that you're saying the right thing and make sure you're thinking on the right things. Philippians chapter 4 says, he gives you a list of the things that you're supposed to think on. If you want the peace that's in verse 6, you've got to think on the things that are in verse 8, right? But if we do that, the peace of God can be with us even when we're going through struggles. Glory to God. Some people just seem to be struggling from one struggle to the next struggle and the next struggle. And you can get to the place where you feel sorry for them and you don't like that they're struggling. But the truth of the matter is that they're not loving life because they're not doing the things that are outlined in the Word of God to have a life worth loving. Glory to God. I'm determined that that's not going to be me. I'm determined that I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. But the way I do that is I'm going to give attention to His words. I'm going to incline my ear to His sayings. I'm not going to let them depart from my eyes. I'm going to keep them in the midst of my heart. See, the way that you keep your heart so that it's not deceived is, and that life is being produced out of it, is that you keep your heart in line with the Word. Come on, is that good? I think that's tremendous. I said, I think that's tremendous. Hallelujah. Well, let's look at some things that Jesus said. Glory to God. Go to John chapter 6, the Gospel of John and the 6th chapter. You know, today's day and even some of the folks that used to be in church but now are not in church, and they're making excuses and they're doing all kinds of things, they're not in a position to really be loving life. They might be enjoying the season that they're in, but eventually the fruit of that season is going to come to pass. You know, you might get away with lying for a little while, but pretty soon you're going to have it where nobody trusts you, right? You might get away with stealing for a little while, but there's going to come a day when that's going to catch up to you. But if you'll continue to do what God wants you to do, then that's going to catch up to you too. Glory to God. Bless those who curse you. Amen. Chapter 6, and let's start in verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." You can't love life without eating the bread of life. You cannot love life without having Jesus the main part of your life. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's something about that name. Amen? Again, watch this. "I'm the bread of the life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that I have seen, but I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out." Look, we're talking about life, and we're talking about that Jesus is our life, and really our belief in Jesus is what produces life in us. Lord, I trust you. I trust your word. Jesus was a historical figure, but he's not one that's perished. He's one that's still alive. Jesus is real. He's living. He's with us right now. The gospel is real. The gospel that says, listen, you've sinned. All of us have sinned. All of us deserve hell. All of us deserve to be apart from God. But God loved us so much that he said, that's not what I want. And he sent Jesus to take our place. So we have to live out of that kind of attitude. And we have to live from the standpoint of, Jesus, you said you'd never cast me out. Since I've been saved, and I've been saved a long time, I've made mistakes. And I'd like to tell you that those mistakes stopped 20 years ago. I'd like to tell you that those mistakes stopped 30 years ago. I'd like to tell you that those mistakes stopped 50 years ago. But the reality is they haven't stopped yet. Because I'm still tempted. I still have thoughts that come to my mind. I'm still like that. And if I base my loving life on how well I'm doing and my efforts to produce life in me, then I'm going to fall short. But if I trust that Jesus is the bread of life and that I believe in him, and if I believe in him, he said he wouldn't cast me out. There's people who spend their whole adult life, even after they've given their heart to Jesus, worried about whether they're going to make it to heaven or not. Glory to God. I refuse to worry about that because I'm going to love my life trusting in the fact that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the one who has saved me. Verse 38, "I have come down from the heaven. I do not do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but I should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." I know that if you're here in the room or if you're watching online, there's a pretty good chance that you fit into that category. How can I love life? I know that the life that I love is not a temporal life, but it's an eternal life. What does that mean? That means forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever I'm going to be with him. That means when I breathe my last breath here, it's the first time that I'll be completely free of the shame and the guilt and the flesh and all of that, but I won't cease to exist. I'll be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. How can I love life? I have to love life by understanding that the life that I'm living is eternal life that was purchased through the Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then the Jews, verse 41, then complained about him because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then, he says, I've come down from heaven? And then Jesus answered and said to them, do not murmur amongst yourselves. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up in the last day. For it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God, and he has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, who believes in me has everlasting life. Come on. Do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember when you prayed the prayer? Could have been at 6 years old, could have been at 3 years old, or it could have been last week, it could have been last night. But the minute that you asked the Lord and you said, I believe that Jesus is my Savior. I believe I need a Savior. I believe that my sin is ever before me. God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. I just want you, Lord. I just believe in my heart. And so I'm confessing with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and that, God, you've raised him from the dead. And for the rest of my life, with the best of my ability and with your help, I'm going to live for you because I want to love the everlasting life that was produced by the bread of life in Jesus. Amen? Come on, that's so good. That's so good. Verse 48 again, he says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. An incredible statement. And everyone who heard that statement died physically. Everyone who he was speaking to that day died spiritually. I mean, physically. All of them. All of the apostles are dead. None of them are living still, right? All of them died. Their bodies are buried somewhere, or their ashes are scattered somewhere. But those that believe in him, like the apostles, are with him right now in heaven. Glory to God. They're with him right now in heaven. So they died physically, but spiritually they're still alive. And we know this, that the only way to have that life is to have received Jesus as our personal Savior. But once we do that, that life is being produced in us right now. I have the life of God in me. How can I love life? I have to be cognizant of the fact that His life is flowing in me 24/7 all the time. He said he'd never leave me nor forsake me. His life is in me. I have the life of God in me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm not waiting to see if I've got eternal life. Based on what Jesus said right here, I have eternal life right now because I believe in him. I believe the Father drew me to him. I know the day that I gave my heart to him, and it's been different ever since. But I've got to come back to the place where I'm speaking about the eternal life that's living in me more than I'm talking about the temporal life that, you know, is causing circumstances that may not be pleasant. I want to love life. I want to love my days. I want to rejoice in my days. I want to be one of those that people look at and say, what's different about you? And all you can do is turn and say, Jesus. Jesus, what's different about you? It's Jesus, it's what he did because he is my life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Verse 51 says, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now, I mean, you know, you just got to cut these folks a little bit of slack because that's kind of strange language, right? I'm the bread of life. You got to eat my flesh. What do we get out of a knife and a fork? I mean, what is that? What does that mean? But he's talking about those that receive the sacrifice of him dying on a cross and taking the sins of the whole world upon him. It's receiving that flesh by faith and saying, he took my place. Jesus took my place. Verse 53, and then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. So you can't truly love life without having Jesus in your life, without him being the Savior that you're living for. Glory to God. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And again, at the Last Supper, he demonstrated what that meant. He put on at the Passover meal, at the Seder meal, at the Passover time, right before he died, the night before he died, he said, I'm the one who fulfills every one of these things that are in that meal. I am this, and this is the cup of my blood, right? This is my body broken for you, and this is the cup of my blood, the new covenant, right? The blood that was shed for you, that no longer do you have to offer sacrifices for sin over and over and over again. All you have to do is look back at the fact that I was the everlasting sacrifice that paid for the sin of the whole world. And all you have to do to be introduced into that is understand that I need a Savior. Jesus was the Savior. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And Lord, help me live my life for you. Amen? Glory to God. I've eaten of his flesh. I've drank of his blood. How can I love life? Because his life is living on the inside of me. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. And this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and are dead, but he who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, whom they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? And Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, and he said to them, does this offend you? What then, if you should see the Son of Man ascend from where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh produces nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. That's so important. That's so important. The flesh produces nothing. Your efforts produce nothing. You're trying to be good produces nothing. But his word inside of you, and you partaking of that word and eating of that word and putting that word before you, produce the life that you can love. Tonight I'm telling you, I'm determined to love life because of what Jesus has done for me and in me. I have eaten of the bread of life. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. I cannot expect to be in heaven with him without the blood, but I have the blood, and I'm going to speak of the blood. I said, I'm going to speak of the blood. Hallelujah. Let me read that again. It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh produces nothing. The word that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Now watch this. Go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And verse 10, very familiar scripture, but watch this. He says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and destroy. How does he do that? He puts you in a place where you're listening to what he says and you're accepting what he says. But the thief's job for you and his seeking you is for to kill you, steal from you, and destroy you. But watch this. I have come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I plan to love life because Jesus came to me and what produces life in me is from Him. Amen? This is what I've determined in myself. Anything that kills, steals, or destroys, its ultimate source is the devil and my cooperating with him. Anything that produces life in me, an abundant life, is Jesus and me cooperating with Him. So if I want to love life, I've got to cooperate with Jesus. I just got to lay my life before Him and say, Lord, I just believe. I'm a believer, Lord. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. A couple more scriptures and we'll close. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, now, this is the story about Martha and Mary and and how Lazarus died. And they said, Lord, if you'd only been here, he'd be raised. And then Jesus answered and said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So I've watched people go through the process of their mortal body shutting down and they no longer live in that earth suit. Watched it just a couple of weeks ago. But the person that was in that, my friend, Tom, is not gone. He's now he's now living in heaven. He's not dead. He's more alive than he's ever been. But he's forever living with him. Let me just talk for a minute about Tom. Tom was one of those who had many experiences with God, and he saw things, and the Lord actually a few times let him go to heaven and experience heaven. So he was not afraid of dying because he knew where he was going. And many people that have been through that experience that I've read about, they said, the Lord sent us back because we had some things to do here, but we're homesick. We long for that place because we know where it is, right? Because when you get there, you're no longer under the influence of the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The only influence that you have is the one that gives life and gives it abundantly. But he said this, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. No man comes but by me. Listen, I am the resurrection and the life. If you want to get to heaven, you got to go through Jesus. That's all there is to it. Watch this now. Go to chapter 14. Chapter 14. In verse 1 it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Where was he going? He was going to the cross. He was going to that ultimate sacrifice to where he could pay the price for us. But when he went there, he prepared the ability for us to live and be in heaven. Why? Why did he have to do that? Because God is holy. And holiness cannot exist with unholiness. Unholy does not fit in heaven. Sin and the result of sin and depravity does not live in heaven. Only holy lives in heaven. In order for us to be holy, Jesus had to die to make us holy because we couldn't get there on our own. But he said, I'm going, and I'm going to prepare that place. And the way I'm going to prepare it is to take your place. But when I finish taking your place, then you'll now be in my place. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. There are other translations that translate it this way. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, or places to live. Don't let your heart be troubled. How can you love life? You can't love life if your heart is constantly troubled. But how do you get it untroubled? You look in the Word of God. You begin to speak the Word of God. You begin to focus on the Word of God. And you begin to declare what He said. I'm on my way to heaven and the going just gets better every day. I'm walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Come on. That's the truth. That's the reality. That's how you love life. Verse 6 says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. But when you come to Him, you get His life, you get His truth, and you get His way. So come to Jesus. If you're away from Jesus, come back to Jesus. Glory to God. If you want to love life, you can only truly love life through your relationship with Jesus. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for tonight. I thank You for Your Word. Lord, I've delivered with the best of my ability. But I ask You, Lord, to just take the words that I've spoken and let them penetrate the hearts of everyone who hears, whether they're in the room or watching online. God, I ask You to just give them a hunger to seek Your face and to believe the reality of Jesus being in their life, feeding them the bread of life. Lord, we just give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. God bless you. We're here. If you need prayer, give us a call. God bless you. Have a great night. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good.